Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbarrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours, welcome back, National Talk Black, have your say in Yarn Up Strong. And like I said, we're going across the airways thanks to NERS, Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and all is here for your daily program. Don't forget, you can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Now, Australia would be worse off without the thousands of people who work to build our communities. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Shaw Paul Stevens, and he's the NYFL CEO, and that's the Galuma Yidabandi Foundation Limited NYFL. And we got Shaun Paul on the line. Shaun Paul, good morning. How are you?
Great, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Okay. So just confirming a pronunciation of your foundation, please.
Nalama Yidabandi Foundation.
All right, fantastic. So thank you for coming to the program. So tell us about your organisation and what you guys do there.
Nalama Yidabandi Foundation is a not-for-profit, owned and led by traditional owners here in the Pilbara.
Okay, fantastic. And you're saying that statement here, Australia would be far worse off without the thousand people who work to build our communities. So we're talking about local people on ground working in their communities. That's the answer, solution for building a better future, yes?
100%. We've got so many people across Australia, over your way, on the East Coast and over here in the West Coast and all across the nation. Working so hard in remote, regional and metro Aboriginal communities.
Yes.
And these are the people that are delivering amazing outcomes on the ground. And without them, I really feel like there's a whole system that would fall apart. Mm. And a lot of those people really don't get recognised.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're talking ownership, hey? And look, we have the solutions to our problems, as I'm talking about First Nation people, you know. And when you're talking about ownership and building on their country, that in itself is empowerment in their spirit sense as well as economy sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're seeing the world shift away from this passive engagement with First Nations people. Mm. And we're very much over here in Western Australia saying to government and saying to industry, mining companies, it cannot just be this passive engagement. It has to be equity, which means that First Nations people have to own what's going on their country, not just be participating. Mm. But that also means in community as well. So where government is delivering programs in First Nations communities, they have to be owned and led by First Nations people. That's the only way they can deliver real meaningful outcomes.
And look, that is, if you look at it, so simple, isn't it? That there's a solution to the problem, so to speak. But it's empowerment, and it creates a strong foundation that our mob can build their empire, their future on, yes?
Absolutely. And if you look at the Pilbara, here where I'm talking to you guys from,
yes,
this is Nalama Mura, which means Nalama country. There is, around this area, there is $100 billion of economic output per year. Now, that's the size of three countries in Europe. Yeah. That's how much money comes out of this area. But mob over here, the communities over here, have some of the most extreme social and economic disadvantage.
Sure.
Exactly. So quite similar to some parts of Queensland, where they are extremely resource rich.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of money made, but in a lot of places,
cash poor.
Mob are still doing it really, really tough. So part of what our foundation is driving and working with others in this space is about changing that.
Well, Shaun Paul, you're talking about here we are living in a first world country, but a lot of our First Nation people are living in third world standards. And that's got to change. This is the 21st century.
Yeah, and and this is what I was writing about in that piece that you mentioned at the start there.
Yes.
You know, where I'm here in community, I'm the CEO of an organisation that is trying to deliver change. Every morning I go and check in with elders, check in on our young people, and the conditions that people continue to experience here are terrible, and it should not be that way. No. And the elders sit down and say to me, why is this still the case? Why are we seeing so much wealth around us? We're in a nation that has so much money, and places like Northern Queensland, places like Northern Western Australia, there's so much wealth being generated. So why are we still seeing communities, First Nations communities, being left behind? And we actually have the answers here in community.
Yes.
It's really just about stakeholders empowering and resourcing the community to be able to get after those answers.
Sean Paul, I agree fully. Thank you very much for the yarn. This is a national program going across the country. Governments are listening, so thank you, Sean. All the best to the team there, my mob, and we'll talk soon, brother.
You too, brother.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's Sean Paul Stevens' name, CEO of the NYFL, a traditional owned organisation that delivers social and economic outcomes for its members and the broader community. Fantastic, WA. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
I used to leave a spare house key underneath the welcome mat. Thinking about those little things always seems to take me back. Now I leave the door ajar ever since you walked out the room. I don't know where you are, but I'm hoping you'll come home soon. My cards are down, I face the truth. The best part of me is you. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. The best part of me is you. We used to both crawl in sick when the weather turned it on. 40Ks to the beach, now feels 40Ks too long. Remember when we used to stay 10th floor at Bayview? Now it's overtime and take away. Even when the skies are blue,
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yeah, Two Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us at daily number 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, next segment, we're Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi IGA. That's Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle is the message we deliver. Chew on a banana rather than a picnic or cherry ripe. There it is. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. With that, I introduce our PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and that's Stephen Grant. And a very good morning, my brother. How are you?
G'day, Trevor. How are you today?
Hey, sorry, were you at Murray doing your ear? Try that.
You there, Trevor?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Good morning. You're there? Yes.
Yes.
Not in spirit, physically, face-to-face. My brother, who your mob were you from?
My name's Steve Grant. I'm a proud Dittable boy from the Mission Beach, Cardball area and the wet tropics of Far North Queensland.
Yes, thank you. And look, love our Tully mob, but you
Correct.
Can take the rain back.
Correct.
We've had rain every weekend since Christmas.
Yeah.
It's good to see the beautiful sunshine. Big
yes.
golden thing out there.
That's
the sky,
cool.
But fantastic, my brother. So listen, we've got a program happening here, RPNGC, and that's the Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary.
That is correct. So I've got my colleague here, Senior Sergeant Mr. Rob Campbell, who
yes.
is the facilitator or one of the coordinators with partnership through the AFP and through the partnership with the Papua New Guinea government.
Okay, fantastic. We've got a couple of cadets here as well.
A couple of cadets here, so I'll put you over to Senior Sergeant Campbell.
Thank you. Senior Sergeant Rob Campbell, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good, thank you, Trevor.
Good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Where's Senior Sergeant Rob Campbell stem from, my friend?
Yeah, I'm originally from Northern New South Wales, but decided to become a Queensland supporter and move up here.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
Many years ago.
Yes, saw the light, eh?
Yeah.
Moved north.
been in Cairns since around 2016.
Good.
Yeah, loving the north.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And so you're a senior sergeant and district duty officer.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a duty officer in Cairns, looking after all of the officers on the road and their responses from Cardwell through to the New Guinea border.
Gee, big footprint.
It is a big area, and lots of things happening in that
lots
area.
Lots of things
too.
Happening. And plus, this fantastic trainee cadet officers you have here with you, we'll just bring them into the conversation. We've got Regina. Hi, Regina. How are you?
Hi. Very good morning to you. I'm good.
Great, great. Good to see you. Welcome to the program. And hello there to Brother Matt Gaimon. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Fantastic. Look, we're talking PNG, so we're talking rugby league. Gaimon, who's your team? Who's your team in the NRL?
I go for Bronx and Cowboys.
Bronx and Cowboys, all right. Regina?
I'm a Panthers fan.
A Panthers, all right. That's one team I don't like, so Thank you very much, Regina. Look, fantastic. Bring Senior Sergeant District Duty Officer Rob Campbell back in the conversation. So we've had these cadets here from Papua New Guinea. So they're doing like a trainee in working with the Queensland Police. Is that how it works and how long they're here for? Is this the first time this has happened? Or?
Yeah, so this is now the second cohort coming to Cairns. We have placements in Cairns and Townsville.
Good.
So the Queensland Police are working with the Australian Federal Police in assisting the Papua New Guinea Constabulary in their officer cadet program.
Good.
So there's 63 cadets.
Yes.
At the moment, who are on a three-year journey learning to become commissioned officers.
Okay, yes.
In the constabulary up there. And we're working with them in their first year with placements in Cairns and Townsville.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just working with us, observing our practices, the way we undertake our leadership, our decision making,
yep.
our operational planning, those things that mean getting a community service of policing out there so that they can take that back and mm-hmm. use it in their future.
Sure.
We're also working with the Australian Institute of Police Management, the AIPM in Sydney, who are working with the RPNGC as well. They're facilitating the leadership program. So good. We're working very closely with them to ensure that the theory is demonstrated so that they can take it back and
yes.
And put it into play when they become officers and the next leadership of the RPNGC.
Fantastic. Look, a great program. Is there reciprocation going on? And reciprocate, do you guys go up there?
At the moment, we're still looking at that as a potential. The placement program has been running for a number of years where we've been bringing sworn officers into our agency
mm-hmm.
so they can do the observations of our practices.
Sure.
This is the first program using the cadets,
mm-hmm.
Which is recently been reinstituted. But we're hoping then that we'll have some reciprocation back of officers going over and just observing, providing advice. We've done some training up in PNG before with the AFP, but that was leading into APEC. And
sure.
Now we want to see if it's possible that we can talk about what might happen in a training space or advice space. The AFP, they own that in PNG.
Yep.
So it's really anything that we can assist them. But yeah, we're more than open to assisting our nearest neighbour in their law enforcement capability development.
Fantastic. And do we have do the cadets have seniors coming from PNG travelling with them?
Yeah. So there is one of the lecturers from the college comes with them, and
okay.
So they're there just to provide advice and keep them on line with what their learnings are, what the curriculum is talking to them about in PNG.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also observing as well, so things that they can take back and utilise in their learnings back with the AIPM and then back when they're in Port Moresby.
And how long does their stint go for while they're here in Cairns?
So they're here for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
It looks like is eight placements within different work groups. So they work with the duty officer, with our comms centre, shift supervisor, highway patrol. And then if there's any specialist areas where people might have come from, for example, Regina was a sworn officer in the education and training area, so she's already undertaken one shift with our education
okay.
and training mob.
Good.
So that's great because she gets exposure.
And they're hands-on in the training?
Yeah, so it's really observation of
okay.
what we are doing in our workplace. But also they have the opportunity to interact and ask questions and learn better from that involvement.
Good, fantastic. Sounds like a great program. Over to you, Regina. Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. So have you always had vision to be a police officer?
Yes. After I completed my year 12 education at the secondary school, Merrinville
mm-hmm.
Secondary School.
Yep. What school is that?
That's the Merrinville Secondary School is an all-girls school in Port Moresby.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
And the name of the school?
Merrinville Secondary School.
Okay, big shout-out. Yes, big shout-out to Dudley. Yes.
Yes.
And so you finished school, and what work have you done before becoming a cadet?
After completing my education, year 12,
mm-hmm.
I applied,
mm-hmm.
and I became a police officer then.
Okay, so you always had the vision. That's what you wanted to be.
Yes. Okay. I grew up in a police environment.
Okay.
Yes. Where my
as in your family?
Yes, my dad was an was a police officer.
Okay.
So I grew up in that environment, and that's where my inspiration was.
Yes.
So, yeah.
You got brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Any of them police officers?
No, I am the eldest.
So you've taken the baton.
Yes.
Dad has handed the baton to you. All right, don't mess with Regina.
So I joined the Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary in 2011.
11? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I'm enjoying it very much. This is my 13th year now.
13th year?
Yes, with the...
And you only got one stripe, girl. You should be having three stripes there. Got the potential. 13 years, that's good. Yeah, and you're enjoying your time here in Cairns.
Yes, I am. I am enjoying my time very much, learning many great things here.
Yes, yes.
In terms of policing.
Yes.
With my 13 years in the RPNGC.
Sure. And in PNG, I was just going to say, you operate only in Port Moresby as your job?
No. I operate in Medang. It is a province in Papua New Guinea, a small province in Papua New Guinea, yes. Mm. I was the training officer at Medang province.
Okay.
Yes, before good. Coming and joining the cadet training program.
Yeah. Yes. Fantastic. Good yarn there. And over to Gaimon. Gaimon, thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. So have you always wanted to be a police officer, yes?
Yes, I've always wanted to be a police officer. Before joining the police, I was working as an inventory auditor.
Inventory?
Auditor.
Okay, auditor. Yeah. How long did you do that for?
I was there for about 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, I did odd jobs along the way while studying as well. So, yeah. And what were you studying? Accounting.
Accounting?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Figures.
Yeah.
Look after your pay packet there, Stephen Brandt. You can work your budget out. So, fantastic. So, now you're here as a police officer. How long have you been training as a cadet?
We actually started last year around on the 23rd of September. So, we've been in training for approximately 9 months.
9 months. Enjoying it?
Yeah. I would say it's pretty much hell because we have been confined and all that. But it's part of training. So, yeah, you have to accept
take the bad with the good.
Yeah.
That's right, exactly. All right, fantastic. Well, you're Broncos Cowboy supporters. So that's all good. My brother got faith in you. And when the cadetship finished, you go back to PNG and then you become a sworn-in officer. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Mm. Good.
We've actually got, I think, two more years.
Oh, 2 more years.
2 years to go in our training.
In your training as cadet, gee.
This rotation.
Long time. Yeah.
This rotation is actually part of our constable qualifying program course, which is the initial part.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Steve, you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, I just want to add to, like my colleagues also said, Regina has said also, it's their first time to Australia.
Ah, okay.
They haven't been out of beautiful. The country.
Yes, yes.
So that's a big eye-opener for them, and bring them here to the to Far North Queensland here in downtown sunny Cairns. I've been showing the outback places like downtown sunny Edmonton. So show them around in that short period.
You should be taking them over to Barlow Park this Saturday.
Yes,
Northern Pride Rugby League team are playing against the Townsville Blackhawks. There are a couple of PNG boys playing for both sides, so you should go and check that out and watch the rugby league on Saturday, 3 o'clock p.m. at Barlow Park. And their feeder club to the Cowboys, the Pride team, as well as Townsville Blackhawks. So affiliation right there if you love your rugby league. Yep.
Yeah, like I said, Trevor, it's their first visit to Cairns, which is a great experience for them. Also, like they say, I've been told once this program is finished, these guys are away from their families for long periods of time.
Yes.
It's a long stint from family to Cairns to, you know, other family members that lives in various parts of the PNG area. And, it's very,
fantastic. So, yeah, Regina, you're following your father's footsteps in regarding becoming a police officer.
Yes.
What's Mum think of that?
She's really proud of that.
That's good.
Yeah, she's...
Because girls can do anything. Go the girls, yes.
Yes, she's really supporting me.
Yeah, beautiful. That's fantastic.
She's really supporting me. I'm taking up the role as a police officer.
Mm.
In Papua New Guinea, it's a really big challenge
for
us females.
Yeah, sure.
Working in a male-dominated
area. Is there a lot of females recruited? A lot of females in the cadetship or being the police officers?
Among the 61 of us, we are four females.
Four?
Yes,
okay, four females. We need more girls there then.
Yes.
Girls can do anything.
Yes.
Okay, you listen, Game On? Girls can do anything, brother. Yes. Senior Sergeant Rob Campbell, District Duty Officer, you must be enjoying this space when we're talking about training and passing on your knowledge, you know, to cadets who I've seen their eyes passionate about this journey. You must feel good about that delivering.
Oh, 100%. It's a really fulfilling job and role in passing on, you know, my experience.
Yes.
And just the things that we take for granted as Queensland Police in our day-to-day work, the things, the professionalism, the ethics, the work ethic, are things that we really want to pass on to the RPNGC about how we can offer or they can start to offer good service to the community in Papua New Guinea. Having been to Papua New Guinea myself and seen that it is developing still, and there's a lot of assistance can be provided, and I think that just in doing that, I take a lot of satisfaction away, and so do all the officers who have interaction, Steve and the officers in Edmonton, and the rest of the officers across Cairns and the district. They really enjoy and relish the opportunity to assist them and pass on what they've learned, what they experience.
Sure.
Because we're all in the same family. We're all in the same policing family.
Exactly.
We're all one talk in the one talk.
One talk. There you go, brother. That's the word we're looking for. One talk.
Just speaking to the about one talk, so I just want to shout out to the local Cairns One Talk Association here and in Townsville. They've provided excellent support to us in the past and continue to when we have the cadets on placement and the other officers on placement, because they give their view of living in Australia as expats. They're mindful of some of the experiences that can be had here and hopefully show them out too. So just a shout out to them and a thanks publicly about the work.
And we've got a strong force of PNG people living here in this beautiful country of ours. And then also you look at the other side, when you look at a PLO, Police Liaison Officer, Stephen Grant, as an Indigenous man, because you lovely people come from your country, a black country, you know, whereas we're here, live in this country here, which got our First Nation people, still fighting for their acknowledgement, land rights and what have you. But it's great to see officers as PLOs, but then there's officers as well, black officers. So you see that side of it as well, how we deal and how we operate and how this government embraces our First Nation officers. So it's a great platform, and that's the other education that you get. And here we are as an Indigenous radio station, the network and communication that's happening in this country. So you're witnessing that too, so good on you. Well, congratulations, and welcome to our country. Do enjoy your stay and your time. Probably left field Senior Sergeant Rob Campbell. They always want to live in their country and be in their country, but can an officer, say, after these guys qualify, 5 years, 10 years, if they ever move to Australia and get their citizenship and live here, can become officers? Does that help in regarding their background? Or
yeah, certainly. It does help, and there are officers who've done the transition in the past.
Yeah.
And we're
that would be all over the world, wouldn't it?
Really? Well, there is, and the skills that are learned in policing are transferable to a lot of other jurisdictions.
Yes.
It's really then about the law and process that really is the learning. Okay.
Not that we want to be stealing you cadets from PNG, but just a left side thought in my mind.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And thanks for raising it, because it is there as an option for officers. And obviously they've got to get through their program, they've got to learn their own jobs first and what they're doing, but the skills certainly that they've got, and some of them even, you know, in Regina's case, and some of the sworn officers already who've been through that process already, got skills that are very saleable. The Queensland Police would really look towards their employment, and particularly locally where we have got such a strong community connection with Papua New Guinea, and that connection and respect of all the diversity of Cairns, I think, is huge.
Fantastic. Well, a beautiful yarn. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best, Senior Sergeant Rob Campbell, District Duty Officer.
Thank you, Trevor.
Regina, thank you, my sister, and all the best to you.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. Gaiman, to Delhi, my brother, and all the best to you. Do enjoy your stay here. And PLO, Police Liaison, thank you, brother, for bringing the brother and sister in.
Trev, no worries. Anytime, you know that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Stephen. And we'll talk soon. And all the best, and big shout-out to Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. All right, to Delhi. All right, to Delhi, your mob, that is a beautiful yarn there. Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here by my Bripper Media. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training, our staff are on call, and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with three deadly people who are with the Damper Peninsula Fire Working Group. which is a cross-tenure collaboration blending Indigenous right way fire practice with contemporary techniques to protect biodiversity, cultural and pastoral values, a collective impact model. And it's the acronym of DPFWG. We have Chris Kurno, Program Manager, Ranglands, NRM. Also have Joseph Kotler and Monica Edgar online. And a very good morning to you all. Hello.
G'day.
You there? Hello? Yeah. Chris, you there, Chris?
Yes. G'day.
Hey, Chris, how are you? And we've got Monica there and Joseph there. Is that right? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, fantastic. Chris, start with you, Program Manager, Ranglands, NRM. Tell us about DPFWG, please.
Yeah, well, the Dampier Peninsula Fire Work Group just recently won 2 awards at the Landcare Australia Awards, which was fantastic. The First Nations Landcare Collaboration Award and the Australian Government's Community Partnership Landcare Award. So, yeah, two big awards for a group that's been going for nearly 10 years.
Good.
And bringing together 6 different mobs across that big chunk of peninsula in the West Kimberley.
Fantastic.
And it has changed things because up until 10 years ago, wildfire was blasting through and burning most of the peninsula.
Yes.
But with people like Monica and the Yarra Rangers, and with the ranger groups right from the top to the bottom of the peninsula, from Barrajari country through Nilnul country, Jabba Jabba country, through down into the bottom of the peninsula, the Yarra country, and also Ningala Mungala country, all those groups have been working with the pastoralists because everyone burns different ways.
Exactly.
Pastoralists. Yep. But pastoralists have,
fire's a tool, isn't it? Fire's a tool.
It is. Mm. Yeah, so, and Monica can talk much more about that on the ground.
Okay, let me go to Monica. Monica, before we start, my sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Hi, yeah. I'm Monica Edgar from Broome. I'm a Yarra Garri Daddy woman. Mm. I work with Nyambaburu Yarra, which is our mob company, and we help manage the land in our department, which is the environmental services team.
Good. So how long have you been working in that area for?
About 4 or 5 years.
Enjoying it, sister?
Yeah, lots of different projects that all bounce off each other and collaborate with with our seasons.
And I always say girls can do anything, so you two, Deli, my sister, leading from the front. Over to you, Brother Joseph. Who your mob were you from, please?
Joseph Kotler, I'm the Deputy Peninsula Fire Working Group Coordinator. I work for Rangeland NRM. Canadian boy. My
mom, you got an accent there, brother. Canadian. You must be feeling the heat there, brother.
Oh, yeah, it's hot up here. Cool season now, but that's okay.
Sure, fantastic. So how long have you been in Australia, Joseph?
For the past year and a half.
Year and a half. So this is home now, or what?
Yeah, it is, my family.
All right, we welcome you, my brother. You're part of the family. You've been adopted now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm working with a good crew up here on this project, so really exciting. I have a bit of a fire background as well. So.
Good. Okay, fantastic. So, the Dampier Peninsula, where exactly is that, my friend?
So it's in northwest Australia. So it's up on the Dampier Peninsula, which is an area about 18,000 kilometers square.
Mm, big footprint.
And, yeah.
Fantastic.
North of Broome, basically.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Back to Chris. Chris, why the DPFWG was formed in response in the annual destructive hot summer wildfires?
Yeah, I mean, mob are getting back on country over the decades to do the right thing, but in this part of the world, I think there's been a need for, Rangelands was just able to bring people together to say, what can we do?
Yes.
And we just started having regular meetings.
Cool.
And that is with all the ranger groups and their prescribed body corporates and their ranger teams, and slowly and surely bringing the cattle producers to the same meeting, to the same table.
Everyone's at the table,
So now we have 2 meetings a year. Joseph coordinates that, gets everyone around at one table, which is about fire, and everyone shares their plans. Mm. Stations share their plans. It's different to what Mob would like to see happening, but yep. Slowly but surely, we have brought. There's not as much fire happening that's out of control.
Beautiful.
There's more it's actually starting to work.
So, look, farmers, pastoralists, they would be excited about that, as well as local people, traditional owners on the ground. It's about looking after country and, like I said, using the fire as the tool to look after country, yes?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And it is a constant conversation. Like last year we had a conference and Country Downs spoke about how they use fire.
Yep.
And Yaru and Badajari and Northern Mobs spoke about it in the same forum.
Good.
So it's just needing to have, and that's why we have that role, just to have the coordination. Otherwise, it is hard to all be at the same place and time. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Back to you, Sister Monica. So, are other sisters involved?
Yeah, I've got about three other country managers that are on board, female, that help with the fire mitigation on country, as well as about five or six men.
Yep, definitely.
And we work with our IPA coordinator and the pastoralist to develop good bird plans for the year.
Is there spaces there for young ones to come through and educate and form a career pathway, a job opportunity for them?
Yeah, so right now we've got another department with our community development, and what they do is do small programs with young people and then to give them pathways into places like the Land and Sea Department on our side. So at the moment we've got their first intake. I think there's about 12 students and they're doing really well.
That's really deadly. Thank you, my sister. Joseph, back to you. Coming from Canada, background, what sort of work have you done to hold the reins here?
So I got a biology background. Been working on prescribed fire back home for about 7-8 years and doing some voluntary, I guess you guys call them bushfire brigades.
Yes.
Work. But here it's really about building a lot of communication out with people, and that's just my outgoing nature, but we work off of a collective impact model where we have a common understanding of the shared goal, which is to reduce those large scale wildfires.
Yes.
That requires some coordination. The sort of the shared measurement of being able to collect data across the peninsula on different fire regimes, and just building trust and having open communication within the group and across the different stakeholders.
So where you're working out and see what the traditional owners are doing here and using fire as a tool, is there anything similar happening with First Nation people back in Canada?
Not to the extent that it is here, for sure.
Okay.
Definitely First Nation people in Canada used to use fire as well.
Yes.
For many of the same reasons, but not I guess,
not to the full extent here.
Fire return interval of about 20 to 25 years. Here on the peninsula, it can burn anywhere from 1 to 5 years after. So the precipitation and the heat are just completely different.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and different different plantations as well, different trees and what have you. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but can be done. Yeah, fantastic, Chris. So how long have you been a program manager, Chris?
I've been with Rangelands more than 10 years, and before that I was with the World Wildlife Fund in Western Australia as well.
Good.
So I've been working with First Nation mobs all the way. It's been fantastic.
Excellent.
But to answer your question about the other mobs, across Australia, last year the Wet Dry Tropics crew, they've got a Right Way Fire program operating in North Queensland.
Yes.
And they came over to have a look at what's going on in WA.
Good.
And in fact, they were trying to get some of the rangers from the Dampier Peninsula Fire Working Group to come across very recently to come and help and talk. It didn't happen, but we'll try and make it happen.
What's
the
space?
And that's happening right across Australia.
Yeah,
mob
good.
To mob, exchanging information.
Exactly.
Like wildfire, if you can use that pun.
And it's great that the government, and if not government, fire brigades are open to the conversation as well. Because we can all learn off each other, can't we?
Oh, it's absolutely. It's slowly but surely. It's happening sooner than later.
Mm.
Even though it's maybe a bit late, it's happening now. It's good.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you very much for sharing. Joseph, thank you. Monica, my sister, keep doing what you're doing. Good yards and go PFWG. Fantastic. And teamwork makes the dream work, my people. Do deadly.
Yeah, good on you. Appreciate it.
Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Trevor. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. So the yarn there with Monica Edgar, First Nation woman there on country, WA, and part of the DPFWG. And that is the Dampier Peninsula Fire Working Group, and also Joseph Kotler, who we adopted, come from Canada, and also Chris Kerner. So good yarning with those people and looking at fire as a tool. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, about to sign off for today's program. I thank you for your company, you mob, and back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, and we go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and we're based here on First Nation radio station here in Cairns, Bumma Bripa Media, and we're on your dingy country here. So to deadly mob, and thank you for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Got the news coming up via NERS very soon. Don't touch that dial. Too deadly. Spirit dream.